Sam is also my boss, and I report to Sam directly. So you should pray for Sam, really, on a regular basis, as he tries to clip me and keep me in shape. Really just have a bit of time to me to talk to him a lot, because that's generally what I want to do. But I'd love just to pray for Sam as he opens up his work, because one of the greatest gifts that Sam is to us, apart from his beard and his hugs, and he'll be offering the hugs out afterwards as well for anyone that would like them, is that Sam is a man that's lived it. He really has been a part of this sort of offstage and onstage, but also is deeply passionate about the words and is a very, very good Bible teacher. So I know that's what we want this morning. So I just love to pray for him that he'd be anointed and that you guys would experience something of God's words as he shares. So God, we thank you for Sam. We pray you'd anoint him. I want to pray, God, that as he shares from your word, that you would just make them come alive and that you'll challenge us, you'll transform us by the power of your words. Thank you for the prep time. Thank you for what he's put into it. And I pray that it would just come out of him just as you've ordained it, as you want it to be. In your mighty name, Lord. Amen. Bless you.
Good morning, Life Church. It's wonderful to be with you. Isn't Jamie amazing? Yeah. I too have heard that testimony many times, but every time it like gets me anew, not because it mentions my name, but just the transformation in this guy's life is only possible through Jesus Christ. And I'm overwhelmed with what God has done in you and what God will do with you, Jamie. God has not finished with you. Thank you, Life Church, for the way in which you support us as the message. We are really very grateful to partner with such a special church like yours. Personally, I want to say thank you also for the way in which you supported my family through a very, very difficult season, maybe about 18 months ago, as we were transitioning out of a church which we'd planted, and we were in a real tricky time trying to work out where we were supposed to be. Actually, this church was a place of real safety and sanctuary for us for a good few weeks or months, and I'm really grateful to the way in which you loved and supported my family. You probably think, I've never seen this guy before. I was probably the guy weeping at the back, trying to hide from you all, but this was a real place of sanctuary. I'm thankful for that. This is Message Sunday, as Tom has beautifully explained. We'll be around the nation in various churches today, explaining the work of the message in our heart to make the good news of the gospel made known to the nations. And this is your opportunity too. We are aware that a bunch of you guys support us and regularly stand with us in support of the message. We're going to give you that chance again this morning. If there's a slide, hopefully we'll come behind you, giving you a bit of an idea. We're hoping that across the nation this week, we will see 100 people sign up to regularly support us. Our average direct debit is about £20 to £25. If we could get 200 people to support us, we would be able to fully fund a team like Tom spends his life making in their work next year as they go around the nation. We believe we can start to fully fund a team like that for at least a quarter of the year. We'll be able to employ a couple of ex-offenders into some of our businesses. We'll be able to find a home for a couple of people like Jamie in our Oaks program, and also launch an Eden team. Eden, if you don't know it, is our incarnational mission. Your church has been a part of our network. Eden is the thing that probably, if I'm honest, has been the part of the message which I've had the greatest love for. 20 years ago, I moved into a place called Openshaw, East Manchester, and began to serve as an Eden volunteer. Would go out and work a proper job during the day and then come home and then serve my community and get to know my neighbours, and some of the stories of which I'll share with you later today. But if you were to stand with us, which I really hope you'll think, on your chair you should find one of our special giving forms. Please think, I don't mind if you fill it in while I'm talking, I won't be concerned. If you'd love to stand with us and support us in a regular way, in fact, anything for a pound up to, there might be people here who are like, I'd love to give that guy £1,000 a day, then if that's you, then we'll give you one of these amazing, well, I'm going to be honest with you, these partner packs, Emily, they look really ugly. It's not Emily's fault, but they look like the worst lunchbox you've ever seen. But in there are some incredible goodies. If this gets back to Andy, I'm like such a dead man. In there is one of Andy's books that he wrote, Hope Unleashed. A wonderful, wonderful book. You could have that one. This is Andy's teaching series on Isaiah that took him 4 years to like produce. That is his great teaching. So that's awesome and well worth getting hold of. You can also have this amazing book by the guy who runs Message in South Africa, a guy called Tim Tucker. Tim, very sadly, lost his wife 3 years ago. She died very suddenly, aged 38. And Tim has kind of journaled his kind of rehabilitation as he's come back and been through the grieving process. This is a wonderful book called Grief and Grace, which he wrote. Fantastic, well worth a read. You know what, it's worth taking that alone if you know anyone who's really going through a real season of grieving at the moment. This is our kind of How We Do It book. This is Being the Message. This has got various chapters on what we think are important when it is when we're trying to do mission and ministry in the name of Jesus. So that's worth a look. Oh, you'll get one of Tom's bands, one of Tom's CDs. Tom is not on this. Are you on this, Tom? Oh, that'd be worth getting, wouldn't it? This is Brightline. I think there'll be a CD in every pack that you, if you're not into that, you could give it away to some youngsters. And this is the thing that Andy calls the piece de resistance, the little black envelope, within which you'll find a small USB pen containing 100 of the best talks that we've ever had at The Message from various people like Danielle Strickland and Brother Andrew and Tony Campolo and all sorts of kind of legends of the faith. So please do pick that up if you choose to support us today. Me and Emily and my friends will all be at that table at the back. Don't try and sneak out of that door there. Just come around, just see us there, and we'd love to talk to you and help you become a partner of The Message. If you'll have followed The Message, if you've been from Manchester at all, you'll have heard the stories of The Message. You'll have heard Andy explain how he was a businessman, how he's passionate about employing people in his business as he made belts and braces, and how his business went wild when Princess Diana wore a pair of his braces and his organization suddenly bloomed and blossomed. And so he began to employ these local youths from Longsight, which seemed to distract him really from his core business. And he went from trying to make and manufacture stuff to really trying to disciple these young men and women. And so he really realized that actually he wanted to see them changed and transformed in the power of the gospel, and began to think, what was the church doing to serve young people in our city? And so he rang the Bishop of Manchester and said, what is going on? Could we do something to bless the young people of Manchester? Could we get them under the sound of the gospel? Could we see their lives changed and transformed? And the Bishop of Manchester wrote back and said, oh, I'd love to help you, but I don't know of a single viable youth ministry anywhere in Greater Manchester within the Church of England. This is the mid-80s. It's a barren season for the church in our city. No viable youth work. No known youth workers, and Andy's heart broke. And so he began to think, what could he do? So him and his brother decided they'd book the Apollo Theatre. They'd get some amazing evangelistic bands, and they would invite the city to come and hear them. And the story goes that lots and lots of people responded to the gospel. And it kind of lit this evangelistic fire within the heart of Andy that he has never been able to extinguish. He soon or later got rid of the business, sold his business, and became a rapper. He formed a band called the Worldwide Message Tribe, which, if he was here today, he would tell you they were awful. And I would agree. We mock him. We say he sounds like the Cookie Monster from Sesame Street. You know, actually, God blessed it. This is a guy who pursued the young people in the schools of Manchester, wholly devoted. It's the world's worst name to call a band, the Worldwide West Message Tribe, but yet focused on only on the schools of Manchester. This is a guy who went out, you know, Monday to Friday, sharing the good news of Jesus and doing a concert at the weekend, hoping that young people would come to know Jesus, and they did. Actually, our city has changed. When I look across at the spiritual landscape of our city, it's a different place than it was. And if you've been around The Message, you'll have heard that the Worldwide Message Tribe went into a school in Withenshaw, one of the poorest, in fact, at that time was the poorest neighborhood in England. And the band did their thing, a week's worth of lessons, and then did this big concert on the weekend, and 100 kids came to know Jesus. And that's amazing. And so they rang this local church and said, what should we do with the kids? Can we send them to your church? And this church said, yes. And so between 60 to 80 kids turned up on the Sunday morning, and they tore the place apart. They brought skateboards and dogs and did laps around the place. And I think they gave out colouring sheets to keep them entertained. And when the service was done, they kind of got rid of them and said, let's never do that again. And so suddenly the responsibility for discipleship falls back upon this group of evangelistic rappers. What do? They're seeing young people around the city respond to the gospel, and they want to send them to a church which really isn't set and ready for discipleship. And so Andy rings some senior church leaders and he says, what shall we do? And some of the leaders said, we need to send people to Withenshaw. We need to move people into that neighborhood to strengthen the arm of the local church and to begin to be able to disciple some of the toughest, roughest kids in the city. And this is where Eden was born. 30 people relocated to the nation's toughest neighborhood to begin that great ministry. 25 years later, there's 72 Eden teams around the nation in some of the toughest places. If you've heard of the message, you will have heard of some of the other things that we do. You know, our Eden teams were blessed by being resourced by these double-decker buses that were called Eden buses, now called Message buses. You know, they were phenomenal and incredible resources that helped us to do what we do. Some of our guys that we were ministering to in the neighborhoods would commit crime, would go into prison, and then we'd lose access to them. And so we began to think about whether we could grow prison ministry to get into prisons to work alongside those that we were seeing from our community. So our prison ministry was developed. And then when we were seeing in prison, we were seeing people like Jamie respond to the gospel. And then if we weren't careful, they were coming out of prison and we were returning to their neighborhoods and the chaos of their family lives and all that kind of stuff, and were likely to reoffend, drop out of church and go back to a life of crime. And so we thought, how do we protect those that we've seen come to know Jesus? And so we thought about this Oaks program that would look after those who needed a halfway home. We began to think about enterprises that we could employ people with. So we set up a hairdresser's and a cafe and building team and whatnot in order to give employment to those who wanted a fresh start. And we'd give them wraparound care. They'd get a house and they'd get this job with a real salary and they'd get a church and a mentor. Trying to think holistically about how we blessed those around us. And the message continues to grow and to thrive. Tom gave you the list of the nations we're now present in and the growing ministries that we're working on. What Tom has got planned for 2020 is off the chart. It's incredible stuff. The faith that this man has to see the young people in our nation won for Jesus is incredible. I'm blessed to work with you, Tom. It would be easy, you know, if we were the message, we are the message. It would be easy for us to remember the things of the past and to put our feet up and think, well, we've achieved a whole lot. You know, we've seen lots and lots of people respond to the gospel. We've got some incredible stories. Maybe we can just sit and relax and listen to old school worldwide message tribe jumping in the house of God kind of tunes. Maybe we can reminisce about the Planet Life stuff that I grew up with as a young person. Going to the Apollo and being surrounded by 3,000 young people that seem to all be pursuing Jesus. There is so much to celebrate when we think about all that the message has done. But then I'm reminded of our touchstone scripture from Isaiah 43. This is the scripture that God gave to Andy as he announced the message and his plans for evangelism. As he's on his way back from an event, he was reminded of the scripture that God had given him that morning in his Bible reading. Isaiah 43 says, "See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." You can't be a new thing, people, if you're always looking backwards towards what has been. But yet, let me just remind you of the few verses before we get to the message touchstone scripture. And let me read to you from verse 15. The passage says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator, your king. This is what the Lord said. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they laid there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick." It seems like God is reminding them of the former things. He says, let me just remind you who I am and what I've done. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator, your king. What an incredible introduction to the announcement of the prophetic word that is going to come to the people of God. He is the King and Creator, the High and the Holy One. And then he reminds them of what he's done for them. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out chariots and horses and army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. I am your God. I am the God who freed you from captivity. I am the God who released you from your enemies. I am the God who released you from slavery. I am the God who defeated Egypt, the world's superpower. I am the God who parted the sea so that you could pass through on dry ground. I am the God who brought the waves down upon your enemies. But aware of the favor of God and reminded of the awesome past, the Israelites had this awful tendency of living in the past, being locked into the old ways. Whether for good or for ill, the Israelites seemed to be stuck in the things of old, the great and wonderful days behind them. But the word of the Lord comes to them and says, forget the former things. Having just reminded them of all the wonderful things, he says, now forget them. Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Whatever has happened in your past, forget it. Why would he want you to forget it? Because the stuff that is to come is greater than the stuff that happened before. But it's so hard for us to do. We get locked into the things that have happened in our life, for good or for ill, and we struggle to move beyond them. I find it hard too. When I think back to the early days of my Eden team and the amazing things that I've witnessed, the miracles that I have seen, the lives transformed, it's hard not to just dwell in those glory days. I remember going to see one of the guys I was working with called Martin. Martin was a long-term heroin addict and he invited me round to his flat. He was living in a B&B. And it was a real state, and I went in there, and his brother was sat there half naked in this chair, like kind of slumped. And his brother, too, was a heroin addict, and he was called what you call a digger, and he used to, like, inject himself in his stomach. So he had these two holes on either side of his belly button, so his belly looked like a bowling ball. And he liked the idea that it was a bowling ball, which was very, very odd. He wanted me to put my finger in one of it, and I didn't go there. And, as soon as I walked in this room, his brother kind of went, oh, who's this guy? And Martin said, oh, he's the priest. And I'm like, I'm totally not a priest, you know. That's definitely not what I am. And so as soon as he heard that was a priest, he began to mock me. He began to say, oh, what a load of rubbish. I don't know why you believe all that. It's not even real, is it? And Martin chirped up. I was just about to head into some reasoned apologetics. But Martin jumps to my defense. He said, course it's real. And his brother's like, what? And Martin begins to wax lyrical about a time. He said, I went to see Sam and his team and I was rattling from heroin. I was really, really struggling. And his team gathered around me and they prayed. And as they prayed, I felt this tingling at the top of my head and in the bottom of my toes. And then the rattling stopped. I was like, I don't even remember that. And he goes, I went to see them one time and I'd been pulling, he was trying to strip cables out to sell the copper or sell the metal. And he said, and I'd been pulling out so much cable that I damaged all like the muscles and the tendon in my arm. And so I said, I went to see Sam and his team and they prayed for me. And I had this tingling on the top of my head and then the bottom of my toes. And then the pain stopped. I was like, flipping heck, this is quite remarkable. And he said, one time I'd taken way too much speed and I'd not slept for 3 days and I was beginning to panic. So I went to see Sam and his team. They prayed for me, tingling head, tingling toes. And then I fell asleep and I was like, I remember that because like I had to try and wake him up because I needed to go home to see my family. You know, he was there all day sleeping on the couch. He said, I'd never slept so well. Don't remember the former things. Don't remember the form. I'm like, Lord, can I just remember them a little bit? Like, they're good stories. I remember this night on the Eden bus. I was studying for my accountancy exams. And so I had done a little bit on the bus, and then I'd gone to sit in my car on the other side of the park so I could just do some last minute cramming of double tax law. You've all just gone to sleep. And then suddenly I saw all these, all my Eden team come running across this field, running across the park. And like, as they got closer, I could hear them shouting, "Start the car! Start the car!" And I was like, "Okay, run, little Fiesta, Ford Fiesta." And as they jumped in, this gang of men ran at my car and began to boot the windows and try to get in. And as we sped off at like 1 mile an hour, and we kind of fled from this gang that was trying to damage and assault our team. And that night we went back and we began to weep and mourn and lament together. And we started to press into the Lord, began to pray, and what started out as just a short prayer meeting soon became an all-night prayer meeting as we really sought God. What is going on here? Our hearts are broken. We've been effectively run out of the community. We really are in quite a mess. God, what are you going to say? And then one girl stood with a Bible, opened it at Isaiah 62 and began to read. And then someone else said, "Wait, me, I've got that too." And then "I've got that too, and I've got that too." And the Lord was seeming to lay on the hearts of his people this passage from Isaiah 62 that talks about us no longer being forsaken, but a desirable place to live, and that God would do wonderful things, this promise that he was giving to us, his people, something to hold on to. Forget the former things. Forget the former things. I'm like, Lord, those were great days. Like, those were the days where we really sensed your presence. God came in power amongst us. Forget the former things, because God is doing a new thing. The God who the scriptures tell us is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the unchangeable God, but yet he's working on new things. Look at the new things of God, whether it's his mercies in the morning, or the new things by day. God, our God, the same God who is unchangeable, is working on new things. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? The new things are happening now. Listen to the urgency of this passage. The new things of God are not happening in the future. They're not happening soon or shortly. They're not happening tomorrow. It's a now, the now thing of God. The new thing of God is imminent. It's about to land. But we need to be a people that will perceive it. Are we a new people? Are we a new thing people? And that's what I love about the message. We're all the time, we have a CEO who kind of comes to morning prayers and we don't know what he's going to share. Like, it could be, "The Lord has given me more new things." And we're like, "We know." We're a new thing people, constantly looking to what God is doing, forward looking, seeking after, always perceiving. You know, we love to compare ourselves to the early days of the Salvation Army. We love to contrast the way in which that organization began to grow and develop. And we see the parallels between that early, exciting, radical movement and the things that we see in the message. You know, whether it's the bands, you know, they had the brass and we have the rap, but we've both got bands out trying to evangelize the nation. They had this thing called the prison gate ministry, which we too have. You know, we now work in prisons, and then the minute people leave, we want to engage them and try and get them into another form of discipleship program. They had the enterprises. You know, if you ever read the early stories of the army, they had the matchstick factories that would employ some of the most weak and vulnerable people in society. And we've got the enterprises too. And then there's the slum sisters, like our Eden teams that were downwardly mobile, moved into community in order to share good news. And they had the equivalent of the Oaks, where Jamie is. The Salvation Army had their hostels that would care for the most vulnerable in society. But something along the way in the life of the Salvation Army has meant that they are not a new things people. At some point, they began to cherish the old. They began to protect the former things. So they get locked into tradition. They get locked into the old ways. And yet the word of the Lord comes to his people, forget the former things. See, I'm doing a new thing. I am making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. The new things of God are unusual. They're new because they're unexpected. They're new because they've never been done before. They are not obvious. And so we have to seek them. We have to search them out. We have to be ready to spot the things that God is doing. He is new and he's unpredictable. Streams don't flow in the wasteland. Streams don't flow in the desert. They are dry and barren places. Why? Because there is no moisture there. There are no rivers flowing in the desert. But yet God is about restoring the barren places and the broken places. And I love this contrast that we get when he says, in the former things, I am the God who separated the sea. He's saying, the new thing is, I want to make water spring up where you've never seen it before. See, it springs up. Streams in the wastelands. Streams in unusual places. We often look for God in the fertile and the favored places. We look for God in the place of blessing and the place of overflow. But the new things of God are perceived in the broken and the abandoned places. The new things of God are life to the lifeless, hope to the hopeless, love to the unlovable, peace to the restless, the wild becoming worshipers. I love worshiping next to this guy because once he was wild and now he's a worshiper. It's the new thing of God. Jamie, you're a new thing of God. See, God is doing a new thing and it looks a little bit like Jamie. And it looks a little bit like my mate Dan, who was a finance executive for Barclays, who moved from London into a two-bed terraced house in Openshaw to join my team. That's the new thing of God. No one expects a guy who earns £250,000 to become downwardly mobile and move into the poorest neighborhoods in order to follow Christ. You know, the ultimate new thing of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus, his only son, our rescuer and our redeemer. The unexpected, the unforeseen, and the unusual. I love this video that often we show at Christmas nowadays, produced by that Australian church, and it's a load of kids all dressed up telling the Christmas story, and they say, they wouldn't be expecting that. Have you seen it? I don't know. Check out YouTube. It's awesome. But the world wasn't expecting the plan for Jesus. He is the new thing, the king born a pauper, the most high laid low, the king of grace born into disgrace, the king of peace born into chaos, the majesty of heaven born into misery, a manger for a bed, creator of all things with no place to lay his head, a refuge who became the refugee, the great I am who became a no one, the defender who becomes defenseless, the immortal who becomes mortal, the eternal who becomes temporal, the light of the world who is overshadowed, the deliverer who is delivered up to death, the everlasting who came to an end, the ancient of days with only 33 birthdays, the sustainer of all things left empty, the abundant one abandoned, the glorious becoming inglorious, the strong made weak, the holy made unholy, the just faces injustice, the truth called a liar. The one who places the lonely in families is forsaken by his father. The welcomer despised and rejected. The king of kings crowned with thorns. The king who reigns not on a cross, and on a cross not a throne. The victorious made notorious. The one who sanctified is crucified. The author of life left lifeless. The rescuer who would not be rescued. Dying for all but dying alone. Robed in righteousness yet hangs naked. The Lord of all is servant of all. The good shepherd dying for his sheep. The most glorified in shameful death. Most beautiful in the ugliest of moments. Washes the sins of the world and the feet of his betrayer. The exchange is his righteousness for unrighteousness. He calls the margins the middle. He's the friend of sinners, father to the fatherless, defender of the widow, the God of the lost who leaves the 99 for the one, a death that brings life,
A man of sorrow who brings joy. His grief brings peace. His oppression brings freedom. I could go on. Maybe I should. He became clean to purify us. His crimson blood makes us whiter than snow. His brokenness makes us whole. He's the wounded healer. A grace for the disgraced, hope for the hopeless, love for the unlovable. Remembers the forgettable, exchanges beauty for ashes. Blinded those who saw and gave sight to the blind. Healed the sick and left the healthy to die. Made sinners righteous and left the righteous in their sin. Fills the needy and leaves the rich empty. Humbles the proud, exalts the humble. The stone that the builder rejected becomes the cornerstone. Jesus is the new thing of God. He's the unexpected and he's the unusual. The world weren't ready for God's plan. The world were not the perceivers of the new thing, but we are the follower of the new thing. And so we must be, if we follow him, expectant that God would continue his plan and his purpose, that God would be about the new thing. Those who walk following Christ will be the perceivers of the new thing of God. And maybe this is where you come in. See, I don't just want to talk about the message. Yes, I'd love it if you supported us, but I want to bring your attention to what God may be doing in your life. Maybe the word to you this morning is forget the past. Forget the former things. You know, maybe you are hung up on what's happened to you. Maybe you've had tragedy or trauma in your life. Maybe you've suffered in this life and those things hold on to you. Maybe you feel like they define you. But the word of the Lord is forget the former things. Maybe you feel like your best days are behind you. Maybe when you think about your life, you just think of all the great things that have now been done and you're not expecting that God would add anything more for you. Forget the former things. See, he is doing a new thing. I don't care if you're 90. If you're following the new thing, Jesus, perceive the new things of God. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray that you would be thankful for what God has done. That maybe you would know healing for what has happened. But today you would press in again. You would go again in pursuit of Christ. And you would ask God again, Lord, help me to perceive, whether that's ears or whether that's eyes, that the Lord would open our senses again to his calling, that we, his people, would know his voice, that we would be willing to go again into the new things that he has in store for us. So would you stand as I pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are trustworthy. Thank you that you are unchangeable. Thank you that you are faithful and true. Thank you, Lord, that you are all about the new thing. Lord, we pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit amongst us this morning. Help us to lay down the past, God. Where there's suffering and hurt, Lord, we pray heal us. Where our lives are full of successes and with much to celebrate, we say, help us to lay them down as we pursue you into the new things you have in store. Yeah. Lord, work on us. Open our eyes, God. Open our ears, Lord. Help us to sense what you're doing, God. What you're saying, Lord. Lord, I pray a release of the prophetic in this place. and the release of the gifting of those that can hear. Lord, we press into you, living God, the God who is not dead. Living God, we press into you, asking that you would speak to us now. Bring your new thing in this place. Bring your new thing, Lord.